The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. Second Canto, Chapter Number 7, Text Number 48. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasatkikari. Recorded on December 12, 2016, in Phoenix, Mauritius.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Sadryak Niyamya Yateya Yama Karta Hetim Jayu Svarat Iva Nipana Kanitram Indra Sadran Niyam Yatayo Yamakarta Hetim Jayu Svarat Iva Nipana Kanitram Indra Sadranya yam ya yatayo yam makarta hetim Sahyu swaradiva nipanna kanitram indra Sadranya yam ya yatayo yam makarta hetim Jahyu Saradiva Nipanna Kanitam Indra Sadrak. Artificial mental speculation or meditation.
Artificial mental speculation or meditation.
Niyamya.
Niyamya.
Controlling.
Controlling.
Yataya.
Yataya.
The mystics. Yamakarta hetim. The process of spiritual culture.
The process of spiritual culture.
Jahu.
Jahu.
Are given up.
Are given up.
Svarat.
Svarat.
Fully independent.
Fully independent.
Eva.
Eva.
As.
As.
Nipana.
Nipana.
Well.
Well.
Kanitram.
Kanitram.
Trouble for digging.
Trouble for digging.
Indra.
Indra.
The controlling demigod supplying rains.
Controlling demigod supplying rains.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. In such a transcendental state, there is no need of artificial control of the mind, mental speculation or meditation, as performed by the gyanis and yogis. One gives up such processes as the heavenly king Indra forgoes the trouble to dig a well. Purport. A poor man in want of water digs a well and undertakes the trouble of digging. Similarly, those who are poor in transcendental realization speculate on the mind or meditate by controlling the senses. But they do not know that such control of the senses and achievement of spiritual perfection are simultaneously made possible as soon as one is factually engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Supreme Person, the Personality of Godhead. It is for this reason that the great liberated souls also desire to be associated in hearing and chanting of the activities of the Lord. The example of Indra is very appropriate in this connection. King Indra of heaven is the controlling deity or demigod for arranging clouds and supplying rains in the universe. And as such, he does not have to take the trouble to dig a well for his personal water supply. For him, digging a well for a water supply is simply ludicrous. Simply those who are factually engaged in loving service of the Lord have attained the ultimate goal of life. And for them, there is no need of mental speculation to find out the true nature of God or His activities. Nor do such devotees have to meditate upon the imaginary or real identity of the Lord. because they are factually engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, the Lord's pure devotees have already achieved the results of mental speculation and meditation. The real perfection of life is therefore to be engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. So, nowadays, it's considered in certain circles to be very cool if you're a spiritual seeker. But we don't do that. We're not spiritual seekers because we're spiritual finders. We have found Krishna by the grace of His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, and His dedicated servants. We have been blessed with Krishna consciousness. The seed of bhakti has been planted in our hearts. So now we have to become very, very expert at cultivating that seed. So how do you cultivate a seed? Well, you have to water it regularly. So how do you water it? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And you have to keep out the weeds also. What are those weeds? Illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, gambling. We have to keep out those weeds, you see. And there's another problem as well, and that's called mad elephants. There's some mad elephants sometimes that come tromping through the neighborhood with their big feet. All it takes is one step of that big elephant foot and your creeper is finished. So what is that elephant hati mata that is called offending Vaishnavas? So therefore it is recommended to make a very, very strong fence around the garden of your heart to keep out these mad elephants. One godbrother, I remember he was giving a very nice class at Vrindavan, he said, don't offend a Vaishnava. And I was thinking, well, that's true, but how do you actually do that? What's the method of not offending Vaishnavas? Some say, well, just go live in the forest. You see. But that doesn't work either. By staying away from the Vaishnavas. Because I'm such an offender by nature, I'm so full of lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. Certainly if I associate with devotees, I'll be very offensive, so better not to associate, one could argue. See? But that doesn't work because you carry it all within your mind anyway. So the way to avoid offending Vaishnavas, you have to always worship the Vaishnavas. Anande Balohari Bhajav Vrindavan Shri Guru Vaishnava Pade Majayi Aman. This is very nicely described by Narottam Das Thakur. Ecstatically chant Hare Krishna, Anande Balohari, and worship that wonderful abode, Shri Vrindavan Dham, and always worship the lotus feet of Guru and Vaishnavas. Not only my guru, I have to worship all the Vaishnavas? Yes. Not that only your guru is worshipable. Every Vaishnava. Every Vaishnava is very, very dear to Krishna. So how much we should appreciate the Vaishnavas, you see. We have a tendency to take the devotees for granted and not properly respect them. But just imagine if you were stuck somewhere in a world where there was no devotees at all. And then you meet one devotee, and it's just like, wow. It happened to me one time, many years ago, I was doing a travel business. So I went on what's called a fam trip for travel agents to check out some destination. So I went to Jerusalem, to Israel on a travel agent's fam trip. And I was with all these karmis. It was horrible, you know. It was just horrible. We went to the Sea of Galilee, a holy place of Lord Jesus' pastimes. And it was just, these Christian ladies, they were singing, I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord. Like, you're going to bless God? I mean, it was just so ridiculous, you know. And I just felt like I was suffocating. But there were some devotees. I found out there were some devotees in Jerusalem. So in the evening, I went to visit him, and it was like, wow, I'm back with devotees again. You know, I didn't even know the devotees, but it was just, I found out they were there. So I went, just some household or couple living there. I just went to visit them in the evening. It was like, wow, I've got my life back again. I'm with Vaishnavas, you see. So actually, we have to, every devotee is like them. But because we're always packed up with the devotees, we forget how valuable every single devotee's association is. But if you're ever in a situation like that where you're forced to be away from the devotees for some reason, just to be with one follower of Prabhupada, you know, it's like, wow, thank God, here I am with a person who is actually dedicated to Prabhupada's movement. What a great mercy. So in this way, we have to always remind ourselves, you see. Sometimes even we take, my godbrother, Satsarupa Maharaj, he was Prabhupada's personal servant. And there you are with Prabhupada, day in and day out, constantly with him. Just imagine. But he understood that there's a tendency, familiarity breeds contempt. So he would sometimes just get away from a few minutes, go away for a few minutes to remind himself who he's with. He's with the spiritual master of the whole universe, you see. So in this way, we have to learn how to avoid this familiarity breeds contempt trap of the mind. I always appreciate the spiritual master, the Vaishnavas, in this way, you see. This will make us strong in Krishna consciousness. Because as I was quoting yesterday in that lecture, Krishna states in Adi Purana, Ye me bhakta jana parta, na me bhakta shtate janaha, mad bhakchanam chi ye bhaktas, te me bhakta tamamata. My dear Arjuna, the one who is my devotee, na me bhaktas, he's not my devotee. That may be shocking. How Krishna can say that? The one who is my devotee, na me bhaktas, he's not my devotee. But then Krishna explains what he means. But the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So we can, each one of us can examine our hearts. How much am I dedicated to the devotees? Do I have any dedication at all to the devotee? You see? We have to look in our hearts. How much do I feel devoted to Krishna's devotees? Because that's actually the extent of our awakening of Krishna consciousness. What if I don't have any devotion for the devotees? Then what will I do? I have to beg for it. Krishna, please bless me that I can become devoted to your devotees. Please, my Lord. Please bless me. Somehow I can become devoted to your devotees. Begging is a very good mood. Prabhupada presented himself as an insignificant beggar in his arrival prayers. So the more we become beggars, you see, begging for the mercy of Vaishnavas, begging for the mercy of Guru, begging for the mercy of Krishna, begging for the mercy of Gauranga, begging, 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 begging. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That begging mood is what we have to be in. What is the position of a beggar? The beggar has nothing, is he? It's like we have now a popular thing in America is beggars. I didn't used to see beggars when I was in the older days, but starting in the 80s, we started to see beggars in the U.S., standing out on the side of the road with signs, we'll work for food or give whatever you can, a dollar helps. And they sleep on the side, they sleep like on the side of the road at night. There's so many beggars now in the U.S. Of course, India's had beggars for centuries. It's a new thing, America. So beggar means he has nothing. So the more we can actually realize what is my position, I'm poverty stricken. You see? And you say, well, come on, how you can say poverty stricken? I'm pretty Krishna conscious, you know. I'm really pretty Krishna conscious. But what did Lord Chaitanya say? He said, I have no love for Krishna. That was his realization was, I have no love for Krishna. And he said, the proof is that if I had any love for Krishna at all, being separated from him as I am now, I would die in the pain of separation if I had even a pinch of love for Krishna. Therefore, my position is I have no love for Krishna whatsoever. So if Lord Chaitanya is saying that way, then what is our position? The more we can feel I am lacking love for Krishna, that's how the love actually becomes manifest. Where I can humbly feel, you see, I'm completely bereft of spiritual assets. Krishna, please save me. Please, Krishna, save me. You see. So this is why being chastised is very good. Prabhupada says the student who is more chastised, he is advanced. I remember we were hearing in one class in Juhu. And the devotee, speaking very nicely, he said, if there's a devotee who criticizes you, move in with him. Make him your close associate. That devotee is always pointing out your faults. That's who you want to associate with. Because actually, you know, we're really pretty puffed up characters. That's why we're here in this material world. We're puffed up. Therefore, those devotees who actually can show us our faults, they're our best friends. You see? So it's our duty, if we're up, it's our duty actually, whoever is older than us, it's their duty to point out our faults. And if we're older than someone else, they're our junior, it's our spiritually older. We have that duty. So whatever you're in a position where you should be pointing out faults of others, how do you do it without getting puffed up? That's a very, very difficult art. How to correct others, feeling that actually I also require to be corrected. That's a very, very, very important art to learn. Because as preachers, we have to, our position is to correct the whole world, you see. That is our position, as Prabhupada has given us the position of preachers, to correct the entire world's population, that you people are off the track. You're killing cows, you're killing babies. You know, 66,000 babies are killed every day, can you imagine? And 156 animals are killed, 156 million animals are killed every day, and 66 million babies are killed every day. 66,000 babies are killed every day. Can you imagine how horrible the world is at the present time? So much murder of innocent babies and innocent animals is going on every day. So we have a duty. We have to correct these people. So how do you do it? Humbly. That's a real art. So that's why we have, Prabhupada said, a lamb at home and a lion in the chase. So the more we can develop that humility within our own hearts, the more we become humble before Vaishnavas, before Guru, you see, then we become empowered to actually very effectively give corrections where corrections are needed. So in this way, it's as we sing every day in the Nrisinga prayers, Bhakirna Singha Hridayena Singha. Very, very significant translation of these four words given by Prabhupada. Hridayena Singha, may Lord Nrisingadev become fully manifest within my heart, driving away all the inauspicities, so that I can peacefully worship the Lord, and Bahirna Singha, bring peace to the entire world. So this is our mission, to revolutionize our own hearts, and it revolutionized the entire global society. So to whatever extent we're able to successfully purify our own hearts, To that extent, we will be empowered for bringing about the desired change in the global society, Krishnaization of the global society. So Krishnaization within and Krishnaization without, that is our the order given by Prabhupada. Actually, he told us in Los Angeles, he said, now you become perfect in understanding the science of Krishna, become guru, and deliver the whole world. Can you imagine the assignment Prabhupada has given us? He didn't just say build a temple, he said deliver the whole world. That's the order he gave us. So we have a pretty big job to do. We have to deliver the whole world. Prabhupada also explains how one becomes empowered to do that. He says that when a devotee becomes an offenseless chanter of the holy names of the Lord, he becomes Jagat Guru, and by his influence the whole world will take to Krishna consciousness. So just see how important it is that we become perfect in our chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. Because it's only to the extent that we purify our own chanting that we can actually bring about the desired transformation of the world's situation. That's why this morning program is so important, you see. I remember in one class I talk about revolutionizing your consciousness, revolutionizing the world. The devotee said, well, what's the mix then? How much do you spend revolutionizing your consciousness? How much do you spend revolutionizing the world? And I answered, well, up till 9 in the morning, you revolutionize your consciousness, and then at 9, you revolutionize the world, you see. You go out, you preach, distribute books, Harinam, building temples, so many things, you see. This is revolutionizing the world. So we have a twofold program. Nishringa within, Nishringa without. Krishna within, Krishna without. I remember Vishnajan Swami many years ago, he told us, I was with him in Brooklyn back in 72, New York. He told us what Prabhupada had said. It was a very amazing quote from Prabhupada. Prabhupada had said, you're always saying all glories to Prabhupada, why don't you become glorious? Prabhupada challenges, now you become glorious. So what does glorious mean? You see? Means we become pure chanters of the holy name. We come in that proper mood of loving and serving all Vaishnavas, you see. Fully dedicated to this world deliverance mission given to us by Prabhupada, you see. Some may say, well, I don't want to think about a world deliverance mission. It's too much. It'd be too depressing, and you know, it's just too big of a thing to even think about. But Prabhupada explains this way. He says, he defines what it means to be Krishna conscious in one Bhagavatam purport. He says, a Krishna conscious being, that's supposed to be us, right? Are we supposed to be Krishna conscious? Yes? What's the name of our movement? The International Society for what? Krishna consciousness. So that means we, the members, are supposed to be Krishna conscious. Wow. Yeah, that's what we're here for. So Prabhupada explains what it actually means to be Krishna conscious. In his Bhagavatam purport, he says, a Krishna conscious being is always thinking and planning how to deliver all of suffering humanity back to home, back to Godhead. But even if he's not successful in doing so, his perfection is guaranteed, and those who follow him will also become perfect. So the idea is that is the meditation of the Krishna conscious devotee. He may not be successful in living the world, but that's okay, because he's going to be delivered just by thinking like that, by always in that mood, live my life in such a way that I can be a perfect example of Krishna consciousness, so I can inspire everybody that I'm associating with, you see, by my example. Everyone should try to be a perfect acharya of Krishna consciousness. You see? In that way, if we're all, then if we all are in that mood, let me be perfect, and as perfect as I possibly can be. Let me pray every day. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That I can be perfectly engaged in Krishna consciousness with my every thought, word, and deed in all times, places, and circumstances. You see? Because if enough of us start thinking that way and really manifesting pure bhakti, the world will change. The whole world civilization will be transformed. Actually, even if Baba says, even if one person can do that, you see, that one person can actually deliver the whole world. But even if he can't, his perfection is guaranteed, and anybody who follows him will also achieve perfection. So this pure devotional service, we should be intensely focused on achieving pure devotional service consciousness. That should be this, the whole meditation every day going on in our hearts. How can I be in this mood of complete surrender to Krishna? Total, absolute, total sold out service to Krishna, you see. Always begging, begging, begging. Always in that mood of a beggar, feeling I have no Krishna consciousness, I have no love of God. Now please, Krishna, bless me, save me from my horrible, deluded, insane position I'm in right now, you see. That is the intense desire of someone who sincerely wants to be Krishna conscious. So in this way, as Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said, here's your program. In the morning, you beat your mind with shoes 100 times. In the evening, with broomstick. So does that mean literally all the brahmacharis should go to the shoe rack and all the house orders should take, you know, literally? No. It means you have to be in that mood of bringing your mind into submission. Our minds are rascals. They're absorbed in lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. That's where our minds are absorbed right now. They're rascals, dirty, stinking rascals, our minds. At least for those of us who are neophytes like me. You see? So we have to bring these minds under control. Completely under control. What is that called? Yogi. We have to become yogis, you see, devotees. Bhakti yogis. Vatsya vegam manasa krodha vegam jivage vegam udaro pasta vegam itanvaitan yo vishahete dirva sravam apimam priti svim shishishyad. Controlling mind, words, anger, tongue, belly, and genitals, such a Goswami can spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. You see. So that's what we should become. Well, I'm a house order, you know. I mean, that's for the sannyasis. I'm just a house. No, wait a minute. Or I'm just a brahmacharya. No, this is for every single devotee. We are all meant to be Goswamis, you see. Brahmacharya Goswamis, house order Goswamis, sannyasi Goswamis. We are all meant to become master of our senses. You can't say, well, that's just for the sannyasis or the GBCs or the gurus. No. Every single devotee in this movement must become a Goswami. This is what Prabhupada wants us to do. We should all become masters of our senses, mind, words, anger, tongue, belly, and genitals. This is what Prabhupada wants. He wants a whole movement of paramahamsas, those who have brought their senses completely under control. So now we are Godasas instead of Goswami. So we have to pray. Please save me from this Godas consciousness. Always thinking of me, 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 me. Instead of thinking Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Thinking me, 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 me. We have to pray to get out of this deluded state of selfishness. Stupid, asinine selfishness. Actually, it doesn't make any sense. It's like the hand trying to enjoy the food separately. Well, I don't want to share it with the mouth. I'll just enjoy the food separately. You see. Now, how much nutrition will that hand get out of the rice if it squeezes it in the fingers? zero. But when that hand gives the rice to the mouth, then the hand gets nourished. So we have to, we do act in our self-interest by becoming Krishna conscious. Our self-interest is not negated, but it's proper self-interest. It's intelligent self-interest. We all want to be happy, isn't it? Well, the way to be happy is to make Krishna happy, to make Guru happy, to make Vaishnavas happy. That's how I become happy. If I try to become happy independently, that's simply my stupidity. I cannot become happy. I may have an illusion of happiness, but it will be quickly counterbalanced with misery again and again. Sukha dukkha, sukha dukkha, sukha dukkha, sukha dukkha. That material happiness, which is selfish happiness, always is tinged by unhappiness. It's never pure. But if you want pure happiness, you have to come to this point of dedicating every thought, word, and deed in all times, places, and circumstances to serving Guru, Krishna, and Vaishnavas. That's how you achieve true happiness. The only way. So we have a few minutes left, and perhaps there's some questions. Pass them up. Anybody on the internet has questions, feel free to type them in. Okay. While distributing, this is from Premananda in Mumbai. While distributing the books of Srila Prabhupada, could we give particularly Bhagavad Gita or other small books? You can judge according to the... That's up to the book distributor. A book distributor has a whole arsenal of books in his bag. He may have some big books, some small books. You have to judge what's going to work best for that person. That's between you and the super soul while you're out there on Sankirtan. Why is relationship with devotees difficult to maintain? It's actually not difficult. We think it's difficult. That's the difficulty. Actually, it's not difficult. Just be friendly. That's all you have to do. Be friendly. Always be in the mood of friend. Just be always be in a friendly mood. You see? Everybody likes to be friendly, so be friendly with devotees. Don't hold grudges. They'll fill your heart with smudges. Maybe some devotee offended you. So do you hold a grudge? Well, that devotee did that to me. I'm never going to be friendly to him ever again. No. Be very forgiving. You see? If you're a very forgiving person, it's not difficult to have nice relations with devotees. Don't hold grudges. Realize you're not perfect. Just because somebody spoke with you in a way that was less than perfect doesn't mean that you can't be friendly with them. You're not perfect either, so don't get puffed up. Is there any instance in your intensive travel where you had a difficult interaction with a devotee? Oh, sure. Sometimes I make mistakes too sometimes, but when I do, I reflect on it and think, well, if I had to do that again, how would I have done it? If you do make a mistake and you know it was a mistake, then you should study your mistake so you don't make it again. You see? It's capitalized on your mistakes. When you do say the wrong thing or... with a devotee, you make an offense. You didn't want to, but it came out because you didn't analyze it properly. Didn't study your mistakes, so in the future you won't make it again. And try to make it up with the devotee too. Many devotees not attend Bhagavatam class because they listen to classes on the internet. Well, I have devotees here listening to classes on Bhagavatam on the internet. Actually, Bhagavatam class is Prabhupada's order. Prabhupada established the Srimad Bhagavatam class as a Prabhupada said, every initiated devotee must attend. So, the devotees are going, of course, devotees are going to work and they can't come to the class. What should they do? Well, they can hear a class on the way to work an MP3 recording. Everyone should hear Bhagavatam every day. What is the minimum frequency that initiated devotees should come? come to the temple. Well, the real standard is morning and evening. Every morning and every evening, devotees should come. But if you can do that, come as much as possible. How must we deal with your... This is a disciple. How must we deal with your godbrothers, sannyasis, who are... And sannyasis who are just... You should be respectful to all Vaishnavas. Actually, the godbrothers of the spiritual master are seen as siksha guru, as uncles. These are my uncles. It's like when I was a kid, you know, you respect your father, you respect your uncle. It's a normal thing. You don't, it's not that you, just like you obey your father, you obey your, you're respectful to your uncle also. So, you should be very respectful to the, my disciples should be very, very respectful and obedient to my godbrothers. The point is, we're a spiritual family, just like in Chaitanya Lila. There were so many gurus, and so many different gurus, so many disciples, but it was all one family. ISKCON, sometimes had a tendency to split up into this guru sect and that guru sect. This is not good. We are one family, and we must keep that mood, the family spirit. That's the whole point. How to deal with sannyasis from other Vaishnava sampradayas? Well, Prabhupada did not want us to associate with Gaudiya Math. That's a fact. Did not want. Because actually, in the Gaudiya Math, there was some envy of Prabhupada, and Gaudiya Math, from Gaudiya Math came poison to minimize Prabhupada's position. Even one godbrother criticized Prabhupada, he was wearing a watch. Just see how materialistic he is, he's wearing a watch. Therefore, he's materialistic. Swami Bhaktivedanta is materialistic because he wears a watch. One godbrother found fault. So there's an envy in Gaudiya Math we've seen. Prabhupada told us not to associate with Gaudiya Math. You can look in the Veda base, the letter to Rupanuga, Rupanuga Prabhu, specifically tells us not to associate. So we respect for them. We don't allow them to come to give classes. If they visit our temple, we're very nice to them. We receive them very cordially, but they're not. Baba did not want them giving classes. Didn't want us to go hear from them. Now, the whole world is something so much about being pushing so much about being positive. Really? Well, their so-called positive is not very positive. But as a devotee, we see how everything is negative. How do we... they have everything topsy-turvy. Yadnisha sarabhutanam tasham jagati samyami yasham jagati putanisha sanasa pashatomunim. What is night for all beings is a time of awakening for the self-controlled. In the time of awakening for all beings is night for the introspective sage. So their so-called progress is actually progress to hell. We have to see. Bigger, more efficient slaughterhouses. Educating the children how to work in elementary school, how to use condoms. This they call progress. Krishna save us. In what way is Lord Brahma the creator, since every ingredient is provided by Mahavishnu? He's the secondary creator. Very often we see so many clashes amongst devotees here in Mauritius. Oh, that is not good. These clashes should not be there, you see. How to reach a stage where there is no clashes? Well, you be clashless yourself. You be the clashless example. And others will be inspired by you. You can't legislate clashlessness. You have to manifest clashlessness in your own behavior. And then people will catch the disease, clashlessness, you see. Or Krishna consciousness, we call it also. Clashing is not Krishna conscious. In Sanskrit it's called klesha. So we don't want ISKCON to be klesha desh. We want to say Bhakti Desh. You see? So you manifest clashlessness. Clashing spoiled the Gaudiya Math. We don't want it to spoil ISKCON. You see? Even I may disagree with you, still I must respect you, you see. I may think your opinion is totally wrong, but still, am I so perfect that maybe my opinion could be wrong, you see. So, always respect everybody's opinion, even if you may disagree with it and argue against it on the basis of Scripture, but still we have to respect everyone's opinion. There's different issues now in ISKCON. There were some strong divides on each side of the issue. And I have a position on those issues. But it's not that those devotees on the other side of the issue, I think they're just a bunch of idiots. You see? I respect them. This is their understanding. I feel it's wrong, but I respect them as Vaishnavas. You said every devotee is special and their presence in our spiritual life is special. But then how a senior devotee, a spiritual master, sees this specialty in their subordinates, our disciples. Prabhupada says the spiritual master sees every disciple as his spiritual master because he has to serve them by taking them back to Godhead. So for the spiritual, someone is actually qualified to be a spiritual master. He sees everyone as his spiritual master. That's the person who's really qualified to be a guru, the one who sees everyone as his spiritual master. I see others, juniors, speculate specialties, then I become humble, I can't guide them and instruct them, and I handle it. Well, if a junior is very expert in something that you don't even know how to do it, well, you have to respect them and for that their expertise in this. Just like this young boy here, he plays Badanga very nicely, better than me, you see. Young boy, you see. So we have to appreciate everyone. Oh, just see how nicely he plays, you know, this way. Every devotee, just like these two devotees here, I'm absolutely awed by them, how they chanted those mantras yesterday. And they go, wow. I was in awe. How wonderfully they chant these mantras. I felt a little embarrassed to chant the mantra this morning. My chanting is this neophyte. These are the expert chanters. I felt embarrassed to chant the mantras in front of these devotees that they actually, I was embarrassed. Because they're so expert in chanting. So in this way, we should, wherever there is expertise, we should appreciate it. Appreciate it, you see. Such feeling anymore just after being in this room for the last 5 years kindly struck me. Besides Gaudiya Math, there's the Sri Sampai and others. What about listening from them? Prabhupada did not want us to go here and there to hear. That's a fact. He didn't want us to go here and there, taking, drinking in katha from this other sampradayas. He wanted us to stick within our own institution. Because they do have other understandings different from ours. That's a fact. How should we deal with devotees who are envious of us? That's an interesting question. Of course, there's two kinds of envy. There's spiritual envy and material. Is this spiritual or material envy? Spiritual and material? Both? If Prabhupada told me how one could be spiritually envious, as I mentioned the other day, I was feeling so envious of those devotees who got to be with Prabhupada, you know, especially the servant and the secretary. They were traveling with him. And I hardly got to see him, you know. And I was feeling so envious. But Prabhupada said spiritual envy means when you see someone is serving, is being recognized more than you, you should try harder so Krishna will recognize you also. And that really satisfied me. But then I still had that tinge. Actually, it's interesting. I was Srila Kirti Prabhu was Prabhupada's personal servant. There is the object of my envy, right? So I was there in the Bhagavatam class, and one of those rare times I got to be with Prabhupada. Prabhupada's sitting in the Vyasasana. I'm standing on right Prabhupada's right side. I always get as close as I could when I had a chance. And Srila Kirti's on his left side, on the other side of the Vyasasana. He's the one who's with Prabhupada constantly, and there's the object of my envy. And I looked across Prabhupada's lap, and Srila Kirti over there, you know, my envious self. And I was just absolutely amazed. Srila Kirti was beaming at me, just like an effulgent sun, this merciful sun. He was giving the most sweet, loving smile you could ever imagine. Across Prabhupada's lap, he was looking at me with the most beautiful, loving smile. And I realized that actually, he's there with Prabhupada 24 hours a day, but he's acting like a mirror. He's not like proud, I'm Prabhupada's servant, you're just a scum, it wasn't like that. It's like he wanted to share the mercy with me. That's how I saw it. He was like a mirror, and Prabhupada's unlimited mercy from Prabhupada was bouncing off Srila Kirti and hitting me, you see. So I never forgot that the way Srila Kirti looked at me that day across Prabhupada's lap. It was just amazing. So if devotees are envious, be kind upon the poor souls. We've all had trouble being envious. That's why we're here in the material world. So if somebody has a problem with envy, be kind upon the poor rascal. Be kind upon him. Help him. Try to help him out of his envy, you see, by being kind. Srila Kirti was so kind to me. He gave me such a loving smile. My envy just evaporated. And I've never forgot that. I've always loved him ever since then. I've very dearly loved that godbrother ever since that moment. The way he smiled at me was just so unbelievably merciful and friendly and sweet and warm. And what you can say, I could write a poem about that, the way he smiled at me. It's amazing. So just be very kind. Be very, very kind. And that will bring a wonderful result. So all right, let's see, we have now no more written questions here. Let's take the ones that came from the internet and then we'll finish it. Okay, let's see what we got here. How do we intensify our desire to become a pure devotee? By begging for it. My dear Lord, I know I'm supposed to become a pure devotee, but actually I'm just thinking about eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Please have mercy on me, my dear Lord, and please bless me. I can become totally, absolutely, intensely absorbed in the desire for pure devotion at every minute. So just beg for it. Krishna hears your prayers and Krishna reciprocates. You know, Krishna is not an impersonalist. Krishna reciprocates. If you intensely pray to Krishna, he will hear your prayer. He will reciprocate. I absolutely guarantee you. If you intensely pray to Krishna, he will hear your prayer and he will personally reciprocate with you. It's a fact. Even if you're not a GBC or a sannyasi or a temple president, or even you're not even initiated yet, if you just intensely pray to Krishna, he will hear your prayer and he will reciprocate. It works. Believe me. Trust me. Okay. Nanda Priya Devi Dasi from Kashmir. How much time should one take to complete the 16 rounds of Japa Mala? It's taking me 2 hours to complete my whole japa. 2 hours is the standard thing, although Prabhupada said it could be done with practice and time. It could be done shorter than that. There's no set time that you have to do it. You'd have to hear and chant each syllable properly, and it has to be done in a mood of begging Krishna for his mercy. So there's no hard and fast rule of how long your japa should take. If we conduct Bhagavad Gita classes at our place, is it okay? As temple classes are not going on regularly, yes. There's nothing happening in the temple, you can certainly have a class in your home. How to distribute more and more Bhagavad Gitas on red lights? This is me now, he's out at the traffic, begging Krishna. Here I am at the red light, how can I get more Gitas out? Well, you have to beg Krishna. Please, my dear, bless me. I can flood this city with Bhagavad Gitas. You have to intensely beg. And Prabhupada one time sent me a letter and gave me a little tip about book distribution. He said, if you simply present these books with the best descriptive language, you'll be able to convince anyone, even an atheist, to purchase them. So it's like a poet, you see, is very expert in language. You have to be a poet. You have to learn how, just like I got a newsletter from my disciple in Toronto. He's a business executive, but he's very intensely absorbed in his high-level executive in a corporation. But during the marathon, he's going out every day. And he's writing his experiences, what he told to this person, what he told to that person. Be creative. Just think, well, what can I say to this person? No, not just some mantra, you know, you just kind of impersonal, you say your lines, like a conveyor belt, you know, you say your lines to this one, you say your line to that one. No, you have to tune into that person and see what is the hot button that I can press in this person's consciousness to inspire them to take a book. You see, in this way, it becomes very exciting. Book distribution becomes the most exciting adventure. It's you and the Paramatma. You see, it's you trying to connect with the Paramatma in your heart and their heart to bring the whole thing together to take a book. It's mystical, actually. Book distribution is mystical when you get into it. It's very intoxicating. That's why I know one devotee, he does full-time book distribution. He loves it so much. He says, I'm praying that I can take birth after birth in this material world until everybody has Prabhupada's books. He's so intoxicated by book distribution. He doesn't want to go back to Godhead. He wants to take birth after birth and keep distributing books until everybody has the books. That's his prayer. Very nice devotee. I met him out on book distribution. We were on Harinam and he was out distributing the books in Austin last spring. He told me that. Okay, if we could say, all right, three more and then we're done. Does worshiping the devotees means dealing with them with the six loving exchanges as given in the Nectar of Instruction? Absolutely. And if you engage, that is worshiping the devotees by dealing with them according to the six loving exchanges given in the Nectar of Instruction. To give gifts to them, and if that means your service also, that's a gift of your time. To accept their service also and gifts from them, distribute prasadam to them, accept prasadam from them, reveal your minds to them, and open your heart up, and they want to reveal their mind to you. These are the six loving exchanges. Since Krishna is present with everyone, within everyone, we can be serve everyone equally in the spirit of Krishna consciousness. Is there a need to distinguish between devotee and non-devotee? Actually, a highly advanced devotee sees everyone as a devotee. Some have awakened, some have their devotion awakened, and some don't have it awakened yet. So actually, every living entity is a devotee of Krishna. Some have realized it and some have not. So you do need to see what level someone is on. It's not like a machine. You're dealing with an individual person who's in a certain state of consciousness. An expert preacher knows how to tune in to that particular person. He tailor fits his. It's like a tailor. You see, you can buy a regular suit at a department store. You can go to a tailor and have one custom fitted. A devotee is a tailor. He tailor fits his presentation of the philosophy to that particular person, exactly what they need according to their level of consciousness. So a devotee has to be very, a preacher has to be very perceptive. What is the level this person is on? How I can bring them to the next level in this way. Okay, that's it. Our questions are up, and I thank you all so much for coming today. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaura Premanandi.
Das Adhikari Maharaj Ki Jai.